If I can have your attention here in the media center and up in the press box, we are joined by the winner of today's 13th annual AAA Texas 500, and that is none other than Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Mobile 1 Ford for Stuart Haas Racing. Today was Kevin's 37th Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series win, his first series win here at Texas Motor Speedway. But what impressed me the most about today, this looked like vintage Kevin Harvick. In those final 20 laps, you hunting down the 78 and then getting that victory. Please walk us through the finish of this race.
Yeah, just really, really proud of everybody at Stuart Haas Racing. But yeah, the last 50 laps were definitely entertaining, I would say, from the inside of the car, just because of the fact that, you know, I had to get by the 22, I had to get by the 11, and really lap traffic helped me get to the 78 quicker than I probably should have, just because of the fact that he got held up a little bit. So that allowed me to start seeing where his weaknesses were, and adapted a little bit to the things that he was struggling with, trying to get to him into the turn one and to the center of the corner. And I felt like that was his weakness, and so for me, I had to change a little bit on the entry and in really both corners and just maintain through three. And he got hung up a little bit off of 4 in lap traffic, and I was close enough, and I knew that I might not get another opportunity, so I drove it in there, and he got a little bit loose, and I slid up the racetrack and was able to have plenty of grip when I slid up the racetrack and put the throttle down and was able to get beside him. And I thought that I could get through 3 and 4 just as good through the middle. I'd done that a couple times through the day. It wasn't my preferred groove, but at that particular point, you just got to hang it out there and see what happens. So it all worked out.
It did work. We will now open the floor up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We'll start with Jerry, then we'll go to Bob, and then to Jerry.
Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News. Obviously, the win, you get the satisfaction. I'm over here. I'm sorry. Pardon me.
It's always weird talking to somebody and not being able to get a visual on them.
I'm not much to look at.
Okay. I'm not either. I'm right there with you, so don't feel bad.
I know there's great satisfaction in winning, getting the title race. Is there any extra satisfaction in shutting Eddie up?
Oh, that's – look, every time I come to Texas, and this has been kind of it's an ongoing joke. Eddie and I have a good relationship, but it's been an ongoing joke every time I come here. And, you pull in the motorhome lot, and you see the bag sitting outside the door, and the note, you got a handwritten note, and surely there's some wisecrack in there that – refers to not being in victory lane, but he's always been very supportive. But he definitely has held that over my head for about 17 years, since I started. So it's nice to get that monkey off our back. And look, we've qualified well here. We've raced well here since I've been at Stuart Haas, and I don't know, we've won 6 or 7 Xfinity races and truck races, and so to kind of complete that whole sweep of winning in all the divisions is something that's cool. But I think that the timing of it is probably the best thing. I think not having to go to Phoenix and count points and try to win the race and do all the things that you might have to do, especially in this scenario, because if it wasn't me, it could have very easily been the 11 car, and that puts everybody in a bad spot going to Phoenix. And so I think with 3 cars locked in, you have to go there with the mindset, if you're not already in, you have to go there with the mindset of winning the race. And that's hard to do. It's hard to say that I don't have any other option other than to win the race. Now, mentally, that's sometimes easier. I think as you look at the guys that are way back in the points, going there just knowing that your strategy is purely to win the race, sometimes being in the middle of the road is a little bit harder. When you think you need to win the race, but you might make it in on points, that's almost harder, because you get stuck in the middle from a strategy standpoint. So it's good timing. I think for us, the mile and a half stuff has been really good in the playoffs. It all started at Chicago, really started at Darlington. Kurt ran well. We sat on the pole there and went to Chicago and had 2 good stages, ran in the top 3 all day. But Charlotte was really where I felt like we had a chance to win. We won a couple stages, led a bunch of laps, and felt like we were back in the game. So they've done a good job, and I can't emphasize enough how much work it has been to switch to Ford for everybody at Stewart Haas Racing. The potential of you know where to go is, and the things that we can do in the future is great. They all need a break. They've been just working day and night, you know, trying to get us caught up from a competitive standpoint, and it's just been, everything's just different. You know, it's much different than the things that we did in the past, and you could start at the front of the car, and you could talk about the body, you could talk about the underneath of the car, you can talk about the engines, transmission ratios, anything you want to talk about has been different. So, you know, for me, that's motivating, but I don't have to do all the work because I can stand back and give input and you know, and think about things, and I enjoy that part, and that's been fun. But it's been, I can't emphasize how much work it has been and how proud I am of everybody to be at this point with two races left in the year.
Go next to Bob, then to Jerry, then to Jim, then to Lewis.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. Before the season started, you said that challenge of the change to Ford was one of the things that motivated you. I know this is probably what your 12th top five this year, but was there any point during the year where you're like, oh, this has been enough of a challenge, or not necessarily too much of a challenge, but where you're like, man, this is even more than what I anticipated?
It was more than I anticipated, for sure. But my expectations going into the year, I was pretty open-minded about where things could go, and there could be some struggles. And you know, I think when you look at, the most important thing is to try to figure out how to motivate your people and how to keep them all together and you know, really be thorough in the direction from a driver's standpoint in the things that you tell them and in the things that you push for to make sure that they're right. Because, you know, it's a big ship. And when you have to change to a different style of radiator or cut the front clip off of cars, you're not just cutting them off of my car. You're cutting them off of my car, cutting them off next week's car. You're cutting them off Kurt's car. You're cutting them off Clint's and Danica's. And, you know, it just snowballs into this huge, overwhelming workload. So, you know, I think in the middle of the year, you know, we had a direction on a lot of things, but, you know, I think the R&D sometimes surpasses the, you know, the production of things. And once they really started finding the things that were working and areas to work on and kind of the hot buttons of the car, then you got to get them put into place. It's easy to draw them on a computer and take them to the wind tunnel. And now you got to put them into production. And, you know, sometimes that production doesn't keep up with the R&D side, and you find yourself cutting bodies and things off that are brand new that never even go to the track, and that's bad for morale. So it's a balancing act of how fast you get there. And I think you know, when you look at it, I think, you know, Zippadelli's done a great job of kind of listening to the crew chiefs and everybody talk about the things that they have going on and the things that they want to change and how do you implement that from a production standpoint. So we were able to get a couple cars in the playoffs, and we were fortunate to kind of keep ourselves in the game, and here we are, 2 weeks to go. Still got a chance.
Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and PRN. Obviously, this has got to be a relief for you, knowing that you're locked in. Tony and Rodney both said you are just laser-focused, that, you know, they've seen this drive in you before. Do you take next week and focus just on the next 2 weeks and focus just on Homestead and going through your previous championship year, what you did right, what you did wrong, to make sure that how do you attack that to try and get this championship?
I think at this point you just don't even think about it. You know, I feel like, you know, the things that we do every week, I'm going to prepare for Phoenix as though, you know, we need to go there and win the race, because winning's a lot more fun. You know, I think for us, the cars are already built. They're already in, you know, transit to the racetrack, and already plans are already laid out. So, you know, I think as you look at the those plans, they're not going to be any different. But as far as, you know, the things that we go through on Monday, tomorrow, the things that we go through, the things that we do, the things that we watch, the things that we talk about, we're going to prepare for Phoenix first. I'm sure that they won't do that in the shop, but I'm a 1 week guy. I can only focus on so many things, and you know, I think as you look at all the workload and the things that I've, you know, had on my schedule and the things that we've done up at this point, they stop leading into Phoenix and Homestead, just because, you know, you want to make sure you don't miss anything. So I feel like the, you know, the things that we've laid out and the structure of all the things that we've done is 100% focused on intending to go to Homestead and go to Phoenix, you know, with the intention of having to put everything you have in it to win the race. So that was already laid out in 2016 as to how it was all going to work, and we'll see if it all plays out.
It's the Jim, then the Lewis, and then we'll go upstairs to the press box.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. Both Zippy and Smoke said in Victory Lane that they really like your chances at Homestead. But that if you had asked them that maybe 3-4 months ago, they might not have said the same thing. Given your comments earlier, do you kind of feel the same way? Do you feel more confident about your opportunity that's now ahead of you, given what you and the organization have been able to put together here the last several months?
Yeah, 3 or 4 months of the 3 to 4 months ago, the conversation really was, okay, how are we going to point our way to, you know, through the playoffs, you know, because we didn't really feel like we were consistently in contention to win races and not leading laps. When you don't lead laps, you can't win races and control things like you can luck into them every once in a while, but you can't control things like the 78 has done this year and the 18. So, you know, as the playoffs have started, you know, we started leading laps again at the mile and a half racetracks, and that's really been our focus, and it has been our focus for the last 4 years too, because that's really the bread and butter of what we do. And, you know, 3 or 4 months ago it was, okay, how are we going to not make any mistakes and be thorough and capitalize on everybody else's mistakes to when we got done with Charlotte, okay, we can still win a championship. And those are two different thought processes of how you go through this championship, you know, process of 10 weeks. So especially as you get later in the game, as you wind up with less and less cars, because they all have the opportunity to win and their teams all step up and you know, usually have their best performances of the year as well. So hopefully we can keep that rolling. But the mindset is definitely, we think we can win, as it was not 3 months ago. And yeah, that's just the difference that 3 months has made.
Lewis?
Yeah, Lewis Frank of Reuters. Rodney said he wasn't on the radio with you at the end. It was all you. And Martin said it was all you. The way the season's playing out, do you feel like the golden horseshoe has fallen out of someone's butt and you're picking it up?
I hope so. I just need it for one more week. You know, I think as you look at that, you know, you can look at the, you know, I know I made that comment a long time ago, but it, being in this position for the last 4 years, you make a lot of your own luck. And, you know, I think as you look at, you know, the 48 team and the things that they've done over the past several years, and, you know, we would call them lucky at the time, but you're only lucky when you're in contention all the time. And those guys were in contention all the time. And now that you look back on it, hey, that's not lucky. That's because they're thorough in what they do and the fast cars, but you still have to have some sort of luck. But when you're just in the mix and you still give yourself a chance, you know, that's really, you know, kind of creating your own luck and trying to capitalize off of circumstances. But you do have to have luck, especially when you go to Talladega.
We'll head upstairs to the press box and then down here to Holly.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. First of all, can you address the fan support you received after the race? It's been a while since we've seen so many fans just, you know, kind of crush the fence looking to give a winner of a race that kind of, I don't know, attention, or, you know, it just seemed like a big moment from up here in the press box.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty neat. You know, I think back to you know, my first win in Atlanta, come off of turn two, and all the fans were hanging on the fence from one end of the straightaway to the other, and you know, they were definitely crawling all over the fence and very supportive of the things that we've done. So, you know, I think when you look at coming to Texas, this has always been a very good market for us as far as fan support. I think it's always been, you know, two or three on the fan support from a fan club and merchandise standpoint. You know, there's a lot of things that are good for us at Texas. We've just let them down through the years by never getting to Victory Lane. But, you know, it was a lot of fun to hear the roar of those fans and see them all against the fence and just jacked up about the four car being in Victory Lane. So it's been an interesting year, to be honest with you, just from a fan standpoint. I feel like I have a much different connection with the fans than I've had in the past, and I think a lot of that has to do with, I don't know, I think a lot of it has to do with the radio show, to be honest with you, just because there's so many people that get to hear what you think on Tuesday and not what you think, you know, 5 seconds after you climbed out of the car and act like a, you know, a jackwad there, saying things that you don't, you know, even remember saying, and you're just amped up and excited and mad and all the things that come with those things. And I think that, you know, for me, the radio show on Sirius has really allowed the fans to kind of hear, you know, what I think about the sport and the things that I love about the sport, and I want to see this sport succeed. And I think I've had this disconnect between the fans, because it's like, you know, they see you on the weekends and they see one thing, and now they hear you on a Tuesday and they hear you talk about things that are normal life. They hear you talk about things that are happening in the sport, happening with other teams, having other drivers on. We spend a lot of time trying to work on the young drivers, and, you know, we'll have Todd Gilliland and Charlie Daniels on this week. So, you know, those are two pretty cool guests. I can't wait to have Charlie Daniels. But I think that people just, I think for, you know, these so many years have just, I've just missed that connection with them, and it's really my fault, just in letting them see that you're a normal person and do normal things and love the sport.
And secondly, from a Ford standpoint, you guys came out of the box so fast, and Toyotas have really been dominant on the intermediate tracks. But, you know, right when it counts, you guys have really picked up the speed. There were 5 Fords in the top 10. That's a solid day for the Blue Oval.
Well, Ford is greatly responsible for that. They have spent a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort in working on the, you know, the Ford performance side of things, and the tools and the things that we have access to, and the effort that they put just within the walls of SHR has been very refreshing. You know, I think as you look at the way that things go, and you don't really know, I didn't know anybody from Ford, never have dealt with anybody from Ford, but I can tell you that from the top down, they're very involved in not only our team, but the Roush team and the Wood Brothers and Penske Group, and I think as we've gone through this, I think everybody, it does feel like one Ford, and that's what they push, and I think, you know, they take a lot from each team, and I think as we've gone through the year, I think our relationship with especially the you know, the Penske side of things has developed, and Brad and myself talk a lot. I know you know, Paul and Rodney talk a lot, and those are the types of things that you need. So that's fun, and I really appreciate all the support from the top down, because they love racing, and when you have a group of people that love racing and you've put them with a bunch of racers like we have at Stewart Haas Racing with Gene and Tony and all the employees that we have, it's just a good fit.
Come down here to Holly.
Hi, Kevin. Holly Kane, NASCAR.com. I just wondered if you could speak about the group that it looks like it's going to go into the championship weekend. You've raced these guys for championships before, specifically Martin being in there and Kyle Busch. Does it feel kind of familiar to you? I mean, are you even looking that far ahead to kind of, you know, feel out how you like your chances against those guys and having been there in that pressure situation in other seasons?
I honestly haven't even really thought about it yet. You know, I think as you look at the season, your ultimate goal is to wind up at Homestead with an opportunity to win the championship. I think if you look at the way the year has gone, you would expect to race the 78 and the 18 for the championship. And I think everything from there was kind of a little bit of an unknown. So, you know, when we had Kyle on the outside looking in, I think everybody was a little bit surprised. I think when the 42 was eliminated, that was definitely a little bit of a surprise, because I feel like if the 42 was still in the mix, I feel like he has so much confidence in going to Homestead that he feels like that's his best racetrack. And, you know, I think he would have been hard to beat down there. So, you know, for us, Homestead has been great. You know, we've won some races there, and we've been ultra competitive there, and it's a very unique racetrack with that is nothing like this one. That is nothing like any racetrack that we go to, with the shape of the corners and the multiple, you know, variable banking. The two ends of the racetrack are very different. So it's a very unique racetrack. And, you know, if you see somebody, you know, hit it that particular weekend, they can be on, but it's never over until the checkered flag drops, because we saw that last year. The three best cars didn't win the championship. Two of them wrecked, and, you know, Jimmy wound up winning the championship. So you just got to go down there and race, and if we do like we did today, we should have at least have a chance. That's all you can ask for is a chance, right?
We'll go next to Bob and then back upstairs to the press box.
Bob Hocker, ESPN.
Do you Bob, have you get two questions?
Yeah. Bad day Man. For you. Is the bull back? Is the guy who tweeted the bull? Is that the type of attitude you have?
I don't even know what type of attitude I have right now. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we've been trying to be so thorough on everything that we've done. I felt like last week I took a very aggressive approach to be into Martinsville, and you know, from the time that we got on the racetrack until the time that we left, and you know, that worked out. And you know, I feel like when you can be on offense, you can be aggressive, and you can be you can do a lot more things than you can when you're, you know, backpedaling and trying to capitalize on somebody else's mistakes. So we're going to be aggressive, and you know, I think as you look at it, it's one of those scenarios where I feel confident in the things that we have going on right now. I feel confident in the team, and I can feel the confidence in the team and the things that they're doing. You can see the results. You know, as we've come to the playoffs and the stages that we've won and the laps that we've led, they don't really even match up with the rest of the year. You know, outside of Atlanta and Daytona, they don't really match up. We haven't had enough top fives and led enough laps this year, and that's really the measuring stick to see if you can win races is finishes in the top five and laps led. So I'm excited. I feel like we've been more competitive to be on offense. You know, when you can see those guys and race with them, that's definitely put you in a position to be more aggressive, because you can at least race with them. You know, that's not something that we did all year.
Head upstairs to the press box.
Wolfgang Munze, Rennsport Press Agency, Germany. First of all, congratulations, Kevin. This time only one question. I think you tested already in Homestead. Given that maybe at race weekend you will have similar or identical weather condition, in principle, can you just roll out the car and go with the same setup as you had as a test, or you try new stuff at the car?
We didn't test at Homestead. I don't like testing at Homestead. I think it's a waste of time, just because of the fact that there's never enough rubber on the racetrack. We went down there and tested one year, and it was such a cluster when we went back to the race that I didn't feel like it was beneficial. Homestead is so unique. You have to do a lot of things different, and you can't do the same things that you do here. You know, it's just the way that you enter the corners and the way that the corners are shaped are so much different than everywhere else that we go. You can't have the same approach. So luckily I've been there a lot. Rodney's been there a lot. We have a notebook of things that have worked. Clint went down and collected all the information and did the test and felt like their speed was comparable, but we have to do a lot of the same things that we've been doing in theory. But you know, the way that you take it to the racetrack will in theory be the same, but it'll be different. It has to be, you know, because that's just the things that happen in Homestead are just different because of the way that the racetrack is shaped.
Keep it upstairs.
Yeah, ChrisKnightCatchments.com. Kevin, I was just curious if you plan to continue doing happy hours in 2018 and continue that fan engagement during the off season with the show.
Our last show is the Tuesday after Homestead. That'll be our last show for the season, but I think we'll get it figured out for next year.
We'll come down and finish off here with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking Tires, NPR, and again, Kevin, you and Dale both have radio show, blog, podcast, whatever, but he has been known to call people out, specifically other drivers, Toyotas, for blowing their tires out after the burnout, after the wins. Are you worried about being on his show this week, and will you have a response if you are on your show later?
I have no problem. Call me out. Just make sure you do it on Monday. They didn't like the last time I called them out, so... Yeah, you can go see the burnouts from 2001 in the RCR Museum. So when you start talking about burnouts, you better go back and do all your fact checks, because there's three of them sitting in the RCR burnout, one from 2001, one from 2007, and one from 2003, one from the Brickyard, one from the Daytona 500, and one from Rockingham when we won the Busch Championship. So it's not something that's new. Ron Hornaday started it in 1998.
Well, Kevin, the one thing he can call you this week is a member of the Championship Four. So good luck in Homestead going for that championship.
I appreciate it. Thank you.